Hi there. It's good to be with all of you today. I don't know if you were here Sunday morning. I got baptized with a new name. Pastor Micah said it. My name is Big Money Bob. And so in order to live up to that name, what we're going to do today is we're going to pass the offering after I preach. And whatever you give, the church is going to take it out of Micah's account. So give generously, all right? Anyway, well, since we are a prayer meeting, I just wanted to address a little bit the subject of prayer and see what the Lord has taught us along that subject, and hopefully it'll be a good reminder for all of us of how we're supposed to address the Lord and what He expects from all of us. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for everything that You do for us. And we thank You that even You watch over the birds and everybody else and so much more, will You watch over us and provide for us. And so we thank You for that, and we ask You that tonight as we look into Your Word and as we look at the subject of prayer, help us to be reminded that we are in desperate need to communicate with You. And so help us to be alert, help us to be obedient, and help us to put into practice what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we are going to look at verses 2 through 4. Well, let's start in verse 1, really. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And so, you know, I think in this account, what we see is one of his disciples asking about the subject of prayer. It wasn't because they hadn't seen Jesus pray, and it wasn't because they didn't know how to do it. I think it was more of a jealousy thing. You know, you have the apostles of John doing that way. And so we want to see results. We want our prayer to be effective, and we want it to work the way we've seen it work in them. And so, it was teach us to pray. And so, it tells us here, when you pray, it doesn't say if you pray. It says when you pray. We're expected to pray. As Christians, we are expected to pray. We are commanded to pray. And we need to pray. We need to communicate with God. We need to tell Him what is on our heart, on our soul, on our mind. Not because He doesn't know it, but because when we pray, we're showing dependence upon God. And we're showing that we want to communicate with Him. We want to grow in our walk with Him. And as we communicate with Him, because He is holy, as we're going to see later, there's nothing that we can do that He doesn't know about it. So when we come to Him, we need to come prepared, because we are naked before Him. And we can't hide anything from Him. And so we need to come prepared, because that's the only way that He is going to answer us. And so as we look into His Word, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven," and it is interesting, obviously, that He responds to Him as Father, and I think we need to be reminded that when we are talking and we're coming to the presence of God, we are coming to our Heavenly Father. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're coming to the presence of Almighty God, Yahweh. And so we need to come to Him with respect, with reverence. And so many times we, you know, because we have access to God and everything, it seems like we come very flippantly before the Lord. And so we need to analyze, how are we addressing God? He is the Almighty God, and so we need to reverence Him. But also, He's got many different characteristics, and one of them is that He is Abba Father. And that is the fact that He is tender, that the fact that He is really His daddy to us. And so, but that doesn't diminish that He is absolutely holy and that He deserves our respect. And so we need to keep those things in mind. He is the maximum authority that we have. He is perfect in each and every way and holy in each and every way. So we need to keep that in mind as we address Him as well. And so this also transmits to us a sense of permanency, that we belong to the family of God, our Father. We are a part of the family of God. And you know what? And I don't know what each of one of our backgrounds are, but you know what? It is great to know that we belong to a family. And some of you might have lost your parents. And if that's the case, that is all the more reason why you have a reason to cling to the Lord. Because He is never going to leave you, and He is never going to forsake you. And that is a great source of comfort for us. And then, you know, there's a sense of permanency because He is always going to be with me. He is always going to be with me no matter where I go. And that is a great thing, but it's also a very sobering thing. Make sure that I go where I need to go and where He wants to be. And so we need to be careful with that as well. And as a Father, He is my protector. He is all-powerful, and for Him there is nothing impossible. And so it is great to know that we're not serving a God that, you know, we might be hesitant and saying, well, I can't tell Him that because He's not going to be able to do anything about it. You know, God is going to be able to do everything He needs to do about whatever situation that you're facing. And it doesn't matter where you're at in the world or where you're at spiritually, the Lord can meet with you wherever you are. And He is the solution to each one of your problems. And so we need to take advantage of that. He is also somebody that keeps His promises. And so He's 100% reliable. And that is something that today, there's many people that are missing that. Are we a man or woman of our word? Before, you know, and I don't mean to sound old, okay? But, you know, the different contracts were done with just a handshake. Now you have to have like 10 different lawyers and look it over and all these other things because people are not people of their word anymore. So we have a God who is 100% reliable, and He's going to keep His promises. But you know what? He has chosen me, but He's not going to force me to have a personal relationship with Him. He's going to give me the opportunity to know Him, and but it's up to us whether we want to know God or not. But you know what? When we want to know God, we need to come to Him in His own terms. We don't dictate the terms. God, in His holy word, He's the one that puts the terms of how this relationship is going to work. And the Bible says, you are my disciples if you do what? What I have commanded you. And so we need to be ready to do those things. you know what? We are created by God, and so He gives us a purpose. We have a purpose, and the purpose is to glorify God with everything that we are and with everything that we do. And the question is, are we doing that? That is the type of God that we do have. And you know what? He sustains me. He picks me up when I am down, and He forgives me when I sin and come to Him in forgiveness. And that's what a father does. And so, you know, so many times, you know, maybe we are embarrassed to come to God in prayer because we know that in order to do that, there's going to be some things in our life that we need to get rid of so that we can come to Him with a clear conscience and let Him do whatever He needs to do in our lives. God also, He is the one that's going to put the punishment in my life when I do things wrong, when I forget or don't want to get things right with Him. He's going to punish me as a good father does because He cannot tolerate sin. So therefore, He needs to do something to call my attention so that I can come back to Him and ask for forgiveness and so that I can restore my communion and my fellowship with Him. So it's really up to me. How is that going to work, you know? He is the only one that knows everything about me, you know? And so, you know, that is very interesting because, you know, some people feel that they're misunderstood all the time. Nobody understands me. Nobody gets me. Or, well, God does. And He made you exactly the way you ought to be. And so don't be afraid of being just yourself because God knows exactly who you are. I'm also completely safe because nobody can pluck me out of His hand. And so once we are saved, we don't ever have to doubt that. You know what? Salvation is a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, and we are always safe in His arms. And we don't need to be doubting those things because Jesus already paid the price, and His blood is more than enough to pay for all my sins and so that I can know that I am a child of God, and I need to be secure in that fact as well. He is placed in a place of supremacy, and He wants to have the preeminence in our life. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that are happening in our lives day to day will come into place when we put Christ first in our life. And so we don't need to worry about those things. We are secure eternally. And He is preparing a place for us that where He is, we might be also. And that is something that we need to look forward to as well. Now it says, hallowed be Thy name, sanctified, set apart, without sin, incapable of sinning, and by His essence. And so that is who God is. And really that is what He expects from us. As His children, we are supposed to want to have the same thing. We want to run away as far away as possible from sin and as close to God as possible so that we can receive the benefits that He wants to bestow upon His children as well. Now, we also need to keep in mind, obviously, that His name is sacred. You know, we should not take it in vain, obviously. We're studying the Ten Commandments. That's one of them. Okay, so we need to really be careful with those things. And you know, it doesn't take much for us to do these kind of things because sometimes we're trying to be cool. Sometimes we're trying to fit in with our co-workers, our friends in school or otherwise. And before you know it, the conversation turns into a place that it shouldn't. And instead of taking a stand for what is right, you know, we forget or we try to fit in, and all of a sudden we're in a place where we shouldn't be. And we're saying things that we shouldn't be. And so we need to be very careful about those things. He is three times holy. He is totally pure. He is perfect. He is set apart exclusively for the service of God. This was Jesus Christ. And so should we. We should be set apart to serve God in whatever area of ministry He has for us. Now you might say, well, you know, I'm too young. I don't know what to do. Or I'm too old and, you know, I've served for many years already. And so it's somebody else's turn. Well, you know what? If you don't know where you're at or where you belong, if you have a question, just ask your pastor. Okay, he'll put you to work. There's always stuff to do. And if somebody doesn't do it, somebody else needs to step up and do it. And so as long as the Lord gives us strength, we ought to do it so that we can receive the blessings that God wants to bestow on us. He is worthy of our honor, our reverence, and our respect. Nobody else is worthy of those things, but God is. So we need to give it to Him. He is an example that we should follow in His footsteps. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of what? Of Jesus Christ. Now, when people look at your life, when they look at mine, are they seeing somebody that is worthy to be imitated? Are they saying, man, there's something different about him. I want that. I want to have that in my life. Or are they saying, man, if that guy is a Christian, forget it. I want nothing to do with it. I hope it is not the case in our life. But you know what? We should be worthy of being imitators. He is worthy of our adoration, our devotion, and our commitment. And so the question is, are we giving Him that devotion? Are we committed to the cause of Christ? You know, do we just come to church because we have to? You know, it's the Baptist thing to do. And so, you know, we just need to be there. And if I'm not there, pastor just might ask me, what were you? And what am I going to say? You know, so we need to be here not because we feel a sense of obligation for a person, but a sense of obligation because of who God is and what He has done for us. And just because of that, I want to get to know Him more and more. And if church is a place where I get to know Him, hey, I want to be here every time the door is open. And that should be my attitude towards those things. You know what? You know, Yahweh, that's the name that identifies Christ as the only true God of heaven and of earth. You know, so many other people serve different gods. But you know what? Nobody can raise from the dead. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he proved once again that He was God and that He was going to keep His promises. And no matter how many Roman guards they put on the tomb, they couldn't hold Him back. And so He is the very true God. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. It talks about His royalty, His dominion in heaven and in earth. You know what? He wants to have the same respect and reverence that He gets in heaven. He wants it and He deserves it here. But yet, so many times we don't give it to Him that way. And so many times we are very casual about our relationship with Him that way. He wants His kingdom to be recognized, to be embraced, to be obeyed. And you know what? We're going to give an account to Him. And there's going to be one day that every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Satan is the god of this world, but he's been defeated, and his days of influence here on earth are counted, and they're already predetermined. We already know what is going to happen to him. And so if God is for us, who can be against us? And so we don't need to be worried about any of those things. We just need to serve the Lord with gladness. The problem is that many of us need to tell our face that we're saved. because we walk around complaining as we were defeated, as nothing good has ever happened to us. But when we looked at whatever, everything that God is doing and has done for us, if we're honest with ourselves, we have no place to complain, no place to murmur, no place to be discontent, all the opposite. But you know what? So many times we focus on the wrong things. We focus, just like Adam and Eve, on what they couldn't have, instead of focusing on what we do have and all the privileges that we enjoy because we are children of God. And so we should be reminded of those things. It says, give us today our daily bread. Everything that we have comes from the good hand of God. And, that doesn't mean that we don't need to work for it. Okay? As a matter of fact, God encourages us. And he wants us to work for our bread. Okay? And if you don't have a job, you need to go out and look for one. Okay? You need to pray for one. But it's not enough for you to sit there and pray about it. You need to get out and you need to fill applications. And you need to do whatever you need to do to get a job. And the Lord is going to bless you for that. But you know what? We need to be in the habit of working for whatever it is that we need. And we are supposed to trust the Lord, obviously, for all our needs. But we need to do our part as well so that they can become a reality as well. Now, the Bible tells us that my God shall supply what? All my needs according to his riches and glory. Now, that's very different than him supplying all my wants. Okay? There's so many things that I want. But really, when you think about it, we only need very little things. Okay? We can live with much less than we have. Most of us have abundantly, way beyond what we can ever imagine. You know? If not, just take a look at your garage. Okay? And you'll find out all the stuff that you haven't used in 10 years and you're wondering why you still have it. Well, it's time for you to clean it up, all right? And so, but you know what? We need to realize that God gives us all these things. It also tells us that as the children of Israel were dependent on their manna each and every day, well, we're supposed to be dependent on the Lord. It is also great for us to be able to save for a rainy day. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to trust the Lord each and every day, because every day brings its own, evil things. But you know what? We need to be ready for whatever comes our way. But when we're with God, we're not supposed to be worried about anything else. And it tells us, without me, you can do nothing. But you know what? So many times we're so self-sufficient, We think we got it all under control. We have our path to success all lined up, until we lose our job, until something unexpected happens, and then all of a sudden we realize that we're not self-sufficient. We're supposed to be God-dependent for everything that we have. So we need to be reminded of that. But you know what? It also tells us, and forgive us our sins. Christ gave us the example of what forgiveness is all about. You know what? We didn't deserve God's love. We didn't deserve to be forgiven by him. But yet, he took upon himself all our sins, and he laid them at the cross there with the sacrifice that he made for us. And so many times we have the audacity not to want to forgive somebody else for something that they have done to us. You know what? We feel so hurt. We feel so persecuted and whatever else. You know what? We don't need to hold grudges. We just need to forgive. Because when we do the offending part, we expect people to forgive us right away. Well, we should have the same attitude towards the ones that are asking forgiveness from us. And so we are all sinners. None of us are just. No, not one. Can somebody read for me Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, please? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, please. Okay, that's very clear. We don't need to do any kind of explanation on that. As Christ has forgiven us, we're supposed to forgive as well. Our debt was impossible to pay, humanly speaking, but Christ was the only one that could pay that debt. And he did because he loved you and he loves me. And so he took the place, the place that I'm supposed to be there. He took my place. God did not have an obligation to forgive us, but he does it because he loves us and because he wants all of us, you know, to proceed to repentance. That's what he does. He wants us to all have the opportunity to proceed to repentance, but it's up to us. You know, so many times people say, oh, you know, when I get a little bit older and then I'll trust the Lord or I'll serve the Lord. You know what? The only problem is that you have no idea how long you have on this earth. Your life is like a vapor that is here, but then it vanishes away. So we need to be very careful about those things. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? And so my sin requires confession, and then there's a liberation of guilt, and then there comes peace into my soul when I ask the only one that can give me that peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it, I give it to you. And so he is the only one that can bring peace to my troubled soul. But that only comes when I ask him to forgive me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. For we also forgive every man that, you know, have sinned against us. You know what? Because Christ forgave me such a debt, we are supposed to do the same. You know, we have the parable of the talents and everything else, you know, and somebody wasn't able to forgive the dead, you know, and so therefore we saw what happened, you know, and that's what happens to us. We get so ornery, we get so greedy, we get so self-righteous, thinking that, man, nobody ever forgave me, why should I forgive you? And we know that's not true. People forgive us all the time, you know, and I'm just glad that my dad allowed me to live this long, because you know, so many times I did so many things that required him to do, you know, great things to me. But yet he was merciful, you know, and he forgave me. And so it is great when you receive that forgiveness also. Now, true forgiveness requires that we forgive and forget, that we never bring it up again, as it never happened. But you know what? We have the tendency to say, well, I forgive you, but you know what? This is like the 10th time that I forgive you for the same thing. You know, well, the Bible tells us, how many times are we supposed to forgive for the same offense? 70 times 7, 490 times. And that's not just for you to be counting, okay, you got 10 more. No, it was 490 so that you don't even think about it. You're supposed to forgive no matter how many times they come to ask for forgiveness. We are supposed to forgive that way. You know, and it doesn't matter if you go and ask for forgiveness and the other person doesn't accept your forgiveness. That's not your problem, okay? The minute you went and you asked for forgiveness, you're free. You're liberated because God has already forgiven you. And if that other person wants to hold a grudge, let it be, okay? But don't be part of the problem anymore. Just let it go. And so that's the way that we ought to forgive. And it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't tempt anyone. That's what the Bible tells us. Can somebody read for me James? James chapter 1 and verses 12 through 15, please. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Okay, great, thank you. So none of this, the devil made me do it, all right? It just doesn't work. It is us that we make a choice each and every day. And all of our choices have consequences. And if we make the wrong choice, it's also going to have a wrong consequence as well. And so we need to choose that we are going to do what is right. And we are going to serve the Lord no matter what. We need for God to guard our steps so that we make the right decisions. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so that is what we need to do. We need to not give the devil any room in our lives. And, you know, and there's so many things that we need to be careful of. We need to be careful of, for example, you know, what we watch on the computer. We need to be careful what we watch on TV. We need to be careful who we bring into our home, because we might be giving the devil some room that otherwise they won't get if we don't let them there. And not to mention that we need to be an example to our families, to our kids, to our co-workers, our friends. And we need to be a good testimony to the Lord and what he's trying to do in our lives. You know what? We need to realize that we are in a spiritual warfare every day. And the devil's trying to do everything that he can to ruin us, to ruin our families, to ruin our reputations, to ruin our church, to ruin your testimony. And it's up to us whether we're going to allow him to have the room in our lives or not. But if God is for us, who can be against us? And I will fear no evil because thou art with me. And so he is with us. But you know what? He's only with us when we are willing to obey. You know, so many times the Lord pricks our conscience and he says, don't go there. Don't say that. Don't do that. And do we obey? Well, many times we know what we ought to do, but to him that knoweth what to do and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. And so therefore we are surprised. Oh, I can't believe I'm in this mess. Really? You know, the Lord pricked your conscience. He sent somebody to talk to you, to do this, to do that, and you still did whatever you wanted. And so are we really surprised? And so, you know what? We need to realize that God is trying to keep us from evil. He's trying to give us things that are holy, things that are going to make us think pure things, whatsoever things are righteous, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest. Think on these things, because we have a tendency to not do that. Because you know what? It's hard sometimes to replace bad habits. You know, and so it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of discipline. But you know what? We need to do it. And it's only us that nobody else is going to do it for us. So, you know what? I hope that as we looked at these few verses of Scripture, that we realize that, first of all, it's the model prayer, and it's for us to follow. And really, it tells us who God is, and really how much we need God and how much we can't accomplish if we don't have God on our side. And so as we go to prayer tonight, let us remember that God wants our heart, first of all. And he wants our obedience. And he wants us to walk closely to him and depart from evil. And so, and he is going to provide all the things that we need. He is going to give us the victory in whatever area of our life that we need, but only when we are doing our part to serve him each and every day more consistently and more faithfully. Let's finish with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and we ask you that you would guide us into all truth. Help us to be open with you, to be honest with you and with ourselves, that we need you each and every day. And help us to realize that we are in spiritual warfare, and we need to be an example and a shining light to this world. Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Help us to be ready, because you are coming for us one day, and we need to be ready, and help us to find us working when you come. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.